is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney.
We're best friends who also happen to be polar opposites.
I'm a colorful extrovert rising.
And I'm a goth introvert.
We're both curious weirdos, and we both love cats.
But that might be the only thing we have in common.
We are an acquired taste. I don't think too deeply about where my tax dollars go.
No, you can't, or you'll be filled with rage.
And it's just like, it's what I pay to exist in society.
It's the cost of living.
It is. It's the cost
Plus,
of living.
There's also the cost of living, which is really expensive.
So expensive these days. I saw a video on the TikTok.
Yeah.
Okay. Doc.com?
Doc,
do you want TikTok to go away?
Yes, please. Tomorrow would be great.
I don't know how I feel. TikTok has changed how we consume things. I think some of it's for the better, some of it's for the worse.
Okay.
Probably most of it for the worse.
Yes.
But I'm also kind of elated at the idea that, like, whatever good things could have come from TikTok probably have already come and gone.
Yes.
And now the government's going to be like, people who do social media for a living, we're just going to take this off your plate.
It would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Because I have a TikTok. I don't use it because I'm too old.
Yeah.
I'm too old to start a new TikTok account. I'm too old.
I fell into a TikTok hole the other day because I have some psoriasis patches on my scalp. And then I searched hashtag scalp psoriasis on TikTok, Bethany, and was watching this girl in England comb crusties out of her hair, like all of her videos for half an hour.
I mean, and she's branded herself beautifully because you know what you're going to get.
I mean, the thing that is really crazy, I'm like, is she putting fake scabs inside her hair? Because her hair is so healthy. I like, how is this possible?
At some point, the ghost hunting shows have to keep up with that evidence in a way that makes you kind of raise your eyebrows.
So I brought up TikTok because I saw these American tourists pull over on the side of the road in Ireland the other day.
Yeah.
And there was a vending machine for farm fresh eggs.
Amazing.
And they put in their credit card, $7, whatever. And it's like, you know, if you go to Lowe's or Home Depot and you order like a pickup order, but they put it in the lockers.
Oh, I've never done that before.
Oh, yeah. Some stores will have like these. Whole Foods has it. If that's where you get your Amazon packages delivered.
Oh, yeah.
They'll put them in the lockers at Whole Foods. And so that's essentially what this was.
Cool.
You pulled over the side of the road. There are all these lockers. You pay with your credit card, $7, Bethany. They got 30 eggs. And the girl in the couple was yelling, in America, this would cost $1,000.
It's crazy. I just paid $8 for a dozen eggs.
And they were just basically like buying eggs from a vending machine for the thrill of it. You know, like something to do on vacation and have a good story.
Yeah.
And then they were like, what do we do with like 45 eggs?
You have all these eggs now.
Yeah. Cost of living.
Tax dollars.
Yes.
What were you going to say?
There is a court case in the Supreme Court going on this week, Bethany, and this is where our tax dollars are going. There is a company that makes a dog toy.
Okay.
That looks exactly like a Jack Daniel's whiskey bottle.
Okay.
And the Supreme Court is deciding whether or not this dog toy is copyright infringementing on Jack Daniel's, the alcohol brand.
Oh my gosh.
This is where our tax dollars are going.
Okay, so this is from Vox.
Yeah.
Dog toy company is VIP Products.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Jack Daniel's VIP Products. They are saying that
the toy is called Bad Spaniel's Silly Squeaker, advertises the old number two on your Tennessee carpet.
Bad Spaniel's the old number two on your Tennessee carpet. So, you know, Jack Daniel's bottle is pretty iconic. So this dog toy is red instead of the golden liquor color.
Yeah.
But the label is super, super similar. Like, the Bad Spaniel's font isn't the Jack Daniel's font, but it's close enough that your brain makes the connection and fills it in.
Of course.
The filigree outline of the Bad Spaniel's is a different shape than the filigree outline of Jack Daniel's, but it's enough. Like, everything is not identical, but just close enough that I can see both sides of this, because the dog toy company clearly knew not to use the exact same font and decorations. Otherwise, they would have just done it.
But they definitely are ripping off the idea of the Jack Daniel's Tennessee whiskey bottle.
Totally, down to the shape of the bottle. And the bottle shape for Jack Daniel's is very specific too.
I don't know how I feel about this, because obviously copyright infringement is a serious thing.
Yes.
But this is like such a silly example of it, but maybe not that silly to the good people over at Jack Daniel's.
Totally. I mean, look, I wonder if it's also because it's a dog toy that references poop.
Yeah.
Like if it was... You know, if it was like a facial hydration mask.
Or an artist got their like print stolen and some company mass produced wallpaper.
It's like poop is just such a gross thing that maybe that's just they don't want to be associated with that.
Yeah.
But it is, I can see both sides. Jack Daniel's is such an iconic label that at some point, like you can use certain copyrighted pieces of media if you're using it in a parody form. Like there's a very specific rule that like you can use a piece of music if you're doing a parody of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that the Bad Spaniels number two on your Tennessee carpet definitely falls into that parody.
That's exactly what this company that makes the dog toy VIP products, they're arguing that when you're an icon product like Jack Daniel's, parodies of your product will happen.
Yeah.
And as long as it's not offensive, like it's not really copyright infringement.
But I can also see Jack Daniel's side of it, which is a parody is one thing, but you are making money.
A physical product.
Yes, off of our brand. Like, it's not that you... I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're making money.
It's like, imagine somebody ripped off our podcast and they called it like Acquired Haste.
It was the shortest podcast ever.
We would be so pissed.
But then, okay, I can also see the dog side of it.
Like Bathleen and Kethany.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I can see the dog side of it too, which is it's not the same product. I can see if Jack Daniel's was suing because another whiskey maker was using a very similar style and like a label to try and confuse people into buying theirs instead of Jack Daniel's. But this is a completely different product. No one's going to confuse a dog toy for actual whiskey. So they're still going to go to Jack Daniel's for the whiskey, but they're going to go to this place for the dog. So like I am truly 50-50 on this.
Oh, okay. And here's another thing to throw into the mix. And, you know, basically we're just Supreme Court justices ourselves now. People who buy this toy are people who also buy Jack Daniel's.
Yes.
And so in a way, it's kind of like a constant advertisement reminder.
Yeah. You're not going to, you're just perpetually reminding people that Jack Daniel's is a thing. Like I look at this dog toy and it reminds me how much I love Jack Daniel's.
Yeah.
So Jack Daniel's said, quote, Jack Daniel's loves dogs and appreciates a good joke as much as everyone, but Jack Daniel's likes its customers even more and doesn't want them confused or associating its fine whiskey with dog poop.
Mm.
But apparently, again, this is from Vox, there are questions about how far courts should go in second-guessing Congress's decisions about how to balance the needs of the marketplace with the demands of free speech.
It's very complicated.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I'm not a lawyer working on this case, but also because this case is about such like a silly product, it might bring more clarity to the market in general.
Yeah.
Because it's a catchy story that everybody's going to remember.
Yes.
And because it doesn't involve something like a t-shirt or sex toy or something, because it's like a clear-cut dog toy, a physical product. I think like it could really set the standards for how we treat trademark infringement with iconic things in the future.
This is interesting. So again, same Vox article. Who wrote this Vox article? I want to give them credit. Ian Millhiser.
Thank you, Ian.
He wrote, because Pepsi and only Pepsi, for example, can use its distinctive labeling to market its products, Pepsi has a clear incentive to ensure that any beverage that uses that labeling will be high quality. Because if the quality suffers, consumers will know not to buy anything that uses Pepsi's trademark.
Oh.
So the court is saying in a previous lawsuit, trademarks foster competition and the maintenance of quality by securing to the producer the benefits of a good reputation. So what What Jack Daniels is saying is that now this, in theory, this dog toy could mean that people look at their label as being less indicative of a high quality product because this label is seen elsewhere like a dog toy.
I get it.
You know?
I get it. There, it's like, I don't.
Like if you're at the airport and you see the clear thing, right?
Yeah.
You know that means you're probably going to get through faster because they're going to scan your retina and let you right through.
Yeah.
And it's, and I trust it. Yeah. But if there's clear and then there's also blear right next to it and it's a super similar thing, but this one means that they're going to slap you across the face when you go through the line.
Yeah.
I don't know which one to trust anymore.
No, you're right about this. It like waters down the brand.
It waters down the brand.
It dumbs down the brand.
It dumbs down the brand.
I don't know who I side with here.
No, it's truly very seldom am I absolutely 50-50 on something, but I'm totally 50-50 on this.
Anyway, that is where our tax dollars are going.
And I think that anybody who has seen these headlines for this case, everything I've seen about this case, they have led with the Supreme Court is ruling a case about poop.
Yeah.
And it has almost nothing to do with poop except it just says number two on the label. And that is our media.
And all of the images being pushed out on social media are like the ruling, what do you call it? The judge handle?
The gavel.
Yeah, the gavel.
The judge handle is better.
With poop emojis in the background.
It's like, this is, what is this? I think our brand has been watered down.
It's truly fun to be a graphic designer these days because the you don't have to really create anything that's like shockingly good anymore. All of these mock-ups you can do basically just look crazy.
Yeah.
And companies are like, yeah,
that's
let's
it.
Like, let's do some like 70 smiley faces with like a real life picture of an astronaut and then like put them in a grassy field and then outline their bodies and then like do the cool winky emoji.
Speaking of watered down brands and awful graphic design, have you seen the new I Love New York logo?
No. Why reinvent
Kathleen,
a good thing?
Kathleen, I don't know.
New I Love New York.
Gentle listener.
Logo.
Look this up.
Okay. Wait, we love NYC?
That's it.
Bethany, this is so stupid.
Instead of the iconic serif I, red heart, serif Y, serif N, serif Y, we have a sans serif. Black, we.
Yeah.
And underneath, NYC.
Yeah.
And then a red heart sort of floating at about a 45 degree angle off of those letters.
No.
It is so weird.
Who? Okay. I feel bad being this angry because
I'm always this angry.
Somewhere in the chain of command, someone was like, this needs to be changed.
Why?
And then some poor middle level junior designer was like, all right, I'll take a stab at it.
It's bad.
And they literally put their blood, sweat, and tears into this. Or Bethany, I don't know, maybe jokes on us. Maybe like the intern made it on Canva. I don't know.
For the 1970s, the original iconic I Love New York is from the 70s. It is from an iconic graphic designer, Milton Glaser.
Oh, yes. He's very famous.
So he did it.
Yeah.
The designer and art director who oversaw the look of this new logo said the idea was to give it more of a modern twist. And that is from an article from the New York Times by James Barron. Why do we need it?
Bethany.
I don't mean to be this angry and get off my lawn, but like, get off my lawn with your New York design.
There's so many issues in New York City right now. Like trash and rats. And crime.
And cost of living.
And let's just focus on rent issues.
Yeah.
People's rents are going up by like 50%.
So here's what I think this is. This is where I put on my conspiracy theory cap.
Okay.
I think that things are so bad in New York right now that they did this.
Yeah.
As a way to distract everyone and unite everyone in their collective rage that no one's paying attention to the fact that rent is so high and people are sleeping on the streets.
I saw this video the other day of somebody in New York walking down the street in a full tinfoil three-piece suit. And I sent it to my group chat, and my friend Kirsten was like, oh yeah, that's the bodega across the street from me.
I do miss the city for that reason.
Yeah.
The guy. Uh-huh. Like, there, every town has a guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And coming up in April, Dennis and I are going to Minneapolis because we're helping friends film something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And part of where we're filming is in St. Cloud, Minnesota, which is where I went to college for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I told Dennis, don't worry, the Superman has been arrested now because he was accused of sex crimes and he's off the streets. But when I lived in St. Cloud, the Superman was just a guy. Everyone knew him. He was around for like a decade.
Yeah.
They just walked the streets. He just stood in the middle of traffic, dressed like Superman.
You know, God bless town troubadours.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been trying to drink less lately, but there's nothing quite like that feeling of taking that first sip of alcohol and feeling all of the stress in your body melt away.
Yeah.
I have replaced alcohol with all of my products from Next Evo Naturals because at the end of the day, it's still been a stressful, crazy Monday, Tuesday, whatever day it is, and I need something to just take the edge off. And for me, that's Next Evo Naturals.
Yeah. Stress is such a huge part of my life. And I think so many people just feel bogged down by stress. And Next Evo Naturals allow you to take CBD that takes quality as seriously as you take your overall health. Next Evo tests their product multiple times to ensure that you're getting 100% of what's on the label.
We all go into grocery stores, we all go into specialty stores, and we all see the display right there, CBD products. But the reason that Bethany and I love Next Evo Naturals so much is because Next Evo Naturals uses a smart sorb technology. So it's proven to have 30 times better the absorption in the first 30 minutes and 4 times the overall absorption rate of other products. So Next Evo Naturals is essentially the Academy Awards of CBD products.
And they have different complexes. I mean, don't we all?
Yeah.
But they have a stress CBD complex. So if you're feeling super stressed, it's clinically proven to reduce stress by up to 70% and improve concentration by 50%. They also have their triple action CBD sleep to help you get to sleep at night and just sort of like ease you into that calm, chill vibe you need to have in order to fall asleep.
So now's the time to upgrade your CBD. Go to nextevo.com/taste to get 20% off of your first order of $40 or more.
That's 20% off of $40 or more at nextevo.com/taste.
Speaking of stealing ideas, I had somebody tell me the other day that whenever they get a good idea and they just want to run it by somebody, like a future business idea.
Okay.
They only speak in very generic terms because once upon a time, they told a really good idea to somebody, a medium good friend.
Yeah.
And that friend went and purchased the URL out from underneath them.
Oh, no.
Isn't that the craziest thing you've ever heard?
That's an awful friend.
Stole the idea and made a company.
This is something you have to be very careful of.
Yeah.
The first time I ever heard about something like this was years and years ago. Do you remember when Victoria's Secret came out with a convertible strap bra?
Yeah.
So the bra straps could like unhook in the back and you could crisscross them. You could take them off, all the stuff.
Yeah.
A woman said that she had approached Victoria's Secret with that idea. They had said no thank you and passed on it. And then like a year later, they started advertising the convertible strap bra.
Oh my God.
Happens all the time. People who have auditioned for an iconic television show that rhymes with Smatterday Tight Mive. Say that. When they've auditioned with like different characters that they've created, and then they don't get cast, they have sometimes seen those characters show up in a Smatterday Tight Smive sketch.
No way.
Yes.
It's
allegedly.
Allegedly. It's almost like from the inception of any idea you have.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly how trademark law goes, but it is my understanding that's like pretty easy to trademark something.
Sure.
You just have to like prove that you own the company or the idea or whatever. Like you kind of need to go and trademark everything even before you start the idea or launch the idea, just so nobody else can take it from you.
And it's actually, I think, as bad as it is now, because there's more ways to steal ideas because like it's hard, easier to find things.
Yeah.
I think it's also easier now to prove that something was yours first because everything is digitally documented now.
You're
you can
right.
like go back in your emails and prove and all
You're
of that
right.
stuff.
You're right.
Do you remember, I think I talked about this case on an episode before, but there was a case where these two comics had, when they were young and unsuccessful, had created this baseball announcer character together, and they would leave voicemails for each other as this baseball announcer who made like these obscure references. It was very funny. And then, what's the name of the guy who does the Simpsons voices? Simpsons.
Hank Azaria.
So Hank Azaria was one of those guys, was one of the two.
Yeah.
He went on to pitch a television show about this character. His friend from years ago sued him to block it, saying, I invented this character.
Yeah.
And because Hank Azaria was able to prove he had like documentation and recorded voicemails or something saying he like had more of an idea of who this character was earlier, he got to do the TV show.
Oh my God.
I have to remember the name of the show because it's going to drive me crazy.
I guess the show didn't take off because neither one of us can name it off the top of our
baseball.
Heads.
Brockmeyer was the name of the show.
Oh, interesting.
Had four seasons.
So it got me thinking, like, you really have to be careful who you're talking to.
Totally.
It is a cutthroat world out there.
Yes.
Okay. And now here's another predicament.
Predicament for you.
If not for me.
Oh.
For a friend. And I need to ask you, Bethany, and the general counsel of gentle listeners.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have all convened here for you.
Yes.
So here
thank
we go.
You. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to frame this in a way as not to give anything away.
Great.
But let's say you're an accountant for an apple farm.
Great. Okay.
Okay.
Nancy's Apples.
Nancy's Apples. And you're doing the books for Nancy's Apples.
Right.
And you're like, like income in, income out?
Income in, expenses out.
There we go. Okay. Yeah. And anyway, you're on a listserv.
Okay.
Of this like newsletter of all of the biggest apple distributors, apple farmers in the country, right?
Great.
And there's like, I don't know, there's like a message board or something.
Love this.
And in the message board, people are like, oh, you know what? I wish somebody would invent this type of sock. I don't know, a special sock that people have to wear when they're harvesting apples.
Yeah,
right?
For lumbar support.
Lumbar support. And also like maybe the sock is like a tribute to Johnny Appleseed. There's
sure.
like a picture of Johnny Appleseed.
Iconic.
Whatever. It is something that there's a market for.
Okay.
But you wouldn't know about this market if you weren't the accountant for this apple company.
Okay.
Okay. And so you approach a friend and you're like, I have an idea, but I need a partner and my name cannot be on the business. I want to make these special apple socks.
Okay.
For apple farmers.
All right.
I know that people will buy them.
Yes.
And I know their email addresses.
Oh.
And I basically will just hand you this list of contacts that will make us money.
Uh-huh.
But you have to be the only name on the business.
Uh-huh.
But I still want 50%.
Uh-oh.
If you were not you,
mm-hmm.
and you were not the Apple accountant, mm-hmm. and somebody approached you with this,
mm-hmm.
would you say, sure? Like, it is easy money. It's kind of guaranteed money. Your friend already works in like the clothing production world. So they know about the ins and outs of like finding a vendor for these socks and stuff. But you are literally handing them the listserv of people who will buy this product. But because of your job, you don't want to get caught double dipping.
I have two follow-up questions before I make my ruling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Follow-up question number one.
Yeah.
Is this a conversation verbal, or has it been written down anywhere?
Verbal.
Verbal only?
Verbal only.
Okay. Second, mm-hmm. is there any possibility that... Wait, am I the Apple accountant in this, or am I the sock maker?
Let's just call you the sock maker. Okay. You're trying to figure out if you should go into business with the Apple accountant.
Great. Is there any way mm-hmm. that I, as the sock maker, mm-hmm. could come across these email addresses in any other way in like the course of my job?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I don't think I can do it.
You wouldn't do it?
No, because also, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm being set up because it feels probably illegal
yeah.
for private emails to be distributed for this purpose.
Okay.
Maybe. It feels like it should be.
Yeah, I don't know about the rules with selling listservs. I actually think it's legal. Yeah.
And
yeah.
the other thing is, it seems like I'm being set up to go down with the ship because I'm the only name that's going to be on this business.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
who's trying to set you up, Kathleen?
No. It's not me. It's a friend uh-huh. who was like asking me. She was like, you have business partners. I need your advice on this
uh-huh.
Because somebody's asking me to start this thing. They want 50%, but their name is not going to be on it.
That's so crazy because I'm trying to think. You know, this is good.
But it's like good money, Bethany. I'm talking like for minimal effort, upwards of $25,000 to $40,000 extra a year. So that's a lot of money for minimal effort on top of what they already do.
Hold on. I'm going to Google quickly.
Like I was saying that maybe if approached with this situation, I would ask my Apple farmer friend, Apple accountant, to start an LLC and have the LLC be the silent partner in my new Apple Sock LLC. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like how corporations or rich people always start LLCs to buy homes.
Totally.
You know? It's a tough one. I mean, because the money is really good, but it's also like, will I go to jail? And you can't start Googling, will I go to jail? Like, wasn't there that guy recently who started Googling how fast is a body decomposed? Like,
I think so.
4 hours after he killed his wife. It's like, how stupid can you be?
There's a lot of results, and I don't know which ones to trust.
Yeah. You know what? That is a great example of somebody who uses their mind to actually read the internet.
Okay, so this is from Constant Contact, and okay. they are like a legit business.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why your business can't afford to use purchased email lists.
Okay.
And that's not exactly the same thing, but yeah. it feels like it's in the same wheelhouse. This is by Stephanie Leica.
Yeah.
You can legally buy them. You might break the law. As previously mentioned, lists of emails are often legal to purchase, but when you try to use the addresses on those lists, you could find yourself in murky legal territory.
Oh, interesting. Why?
The General Data Protection Regulation was created to give individuals greater control over their otherwise vulnerable personal information. Email consent is a core component of this. Consent for digital communications must be freely given, specific, informed, and unambiguous.
Huh.
That's why, like, when you buy something on jcrew.com
yeah.
and you give them your email address and then you have to uncheck the box that says, I consent to receiving promotional emails.
Yeah.
So I bet it's illegal to market your socks
yeah.
to this email listserv because those people have not given you permission to market to them.
Oh,
like you have to give. That's the understanding.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, you want to get 20% off at, you know, makeup.com.
Yeah.
And they say, OK, you'll get 20% off, but give us your phone number and consent to receiving text yeah. alerts. Right.
it's like when you order something and it comes in a physical box to your address and you open it and there's like all these coupons for fancy smoothies.
Yeah, totally.
So I didn't want any of this.
Yeah. So, yes, I think it would be illegal. Unless you went to everyone on that listserv, emailed them and said, I'm starting this new company. Would you be open to being marketed to? But then that shows your hand because if you decide to go ahead and do it, now yeah. there's documentation that you've thought about it.
I would do it. I would use language like you just suggested because the money is so good, but I wouldn't let somebody be a completely anonymous silent partner.
Absolutely not.
Like, even if they have to start three LLCs, so they're three times removed.
No way.
I would still need like legal documentation that we were both on this.
I would need you. I would need like a blood pact.
Yeah.
That I can then DNA test in court and be like, she is a partner.
Yeah, that's why you and I famously wear vials of a mixture of our bloods mixed together around our necks.
Yeah, and the soil from our hometowns to remind us of where we came from.
Thanks for hanging out with us today, buds. You can follow me, Kathleen Heaney, at Kathleen Loves Color.
And me, Bethany Watson, at Ms. Bethany Watson. And you can follow this podcast. Just search Acquired Taste Podcast on all platforms.
But most importantly, check out our Facebook group. That is our coolest social media real estate.
Until next time, this is your reminder to take a deep breath. Stay weird.
And stay curious.
Hi, ladies. This is Jenna from PA, and I just listened to the Top Sheet episode, and I have some questions for Kathleen. Namely, one, what about when it's warm outside? Sometimes you just need the top sheet just for a little, like, to have your body covered, but not to have the warmth of a comforter. So do you have multiple different, like, weights or thicknesses of blankets? I need to know. Also, the top sheet, like Bethany said, just feels like a hug. It matches what your skin, the skin on the backside of your body feels from the mattress cover sheet. So then the skin on the top side of your body feels the same sheet. Anyway, clearly I am team top sheet here, but I was just curious about different temperatures and how you deal with that. Because I grew up with no air conditioning and the top sheet was like the only thing that I would use. Okay, have a great day. Bye.